Isaiah was a master at painting word pictures. A bull in a net. The creature storms across the plain. No building can hold him. There is no tether that can deny him freedom. He's the master of the wild kingdom, and he bellows his defiance at the world. Let all beware. He's loose and fancy free. Suddenly, his world is shattered. He's gripped by forces he can't control. His legs have been tripped by fragile-appearing cords. All his strength cannot make them yield. The more he struggles, the more tightly he becomes enmeshed in the net. He chokes for air. His bellows can be heard for long distances until he loses his strength, and the sounds grow faint. His massive body is picked up by men he once could have easily crushed. But now there's a net that binds him. He will never be free again. Flecks of foam streak against his glossy hide. The eyes, once defiant, are now wide with terror. He's been caught. There's no escape. He's a bull in a net. How sad for such a thing to happen to a wild animal. But how much more tragic when such bondage overtakes a man or woman. I've seen so many people who were once free to enjoy the life only God can give, somehow become embroiled in the world system that can only erode values and dash the soul. Let me tell you something very elementary. Satan wants you in chains. Do you know why? Because he knows that's exactly where God will put him. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him. Satan has known his ultimate destiny for thousands of years, and he has continually sought to place mankind in the same shackled position he will endure for all eternity. Everything about Satan's nature smacks of bondage. But on the other hand, Jesus has come that you might have the greatest and freest life possible. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I love the words of the old song. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails for me. And yet men refuse his offer of joyful freedom and take up Satan's offer instead. Jesus' heart must have been breaking as he said to someone long ago, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." And he is saying it to many today. Mark this down about Satan's nets. They are not always clearly seen. They are hidden and cleverly disguised. Satan knows that no one would deliberately walk into a trap, so he conceals it behind the gaudy trappings that so easily entice mankind. The thing you may least expect to be dangerous in your life may be the very net Satan has set to capture you. Let me reach into the past to bring forth a witness. The man I set before you today had an unlimited future. His talent and powers were such that he could have been one of the world's great rulers. He could have been a bull among men. It didn't turn out that way. Legend says that in his twilight years, he sought peace on the mountain by Lake Lucerne, now known as Mount Pilatus. After several years of despair and depression, it is said that he plunged to his death into the lake from a precipice. My witness is Pontius Pilate, a bull in a net. Actually, there were three nets thrown about this potentially great man. The first one was the position granted him by the Roman Empire. His early life had been spent in training for government service. One of two things must have occurred. One, he showed brilliant leadership potential. Or two, he had powerful friends in high places who arranged his advancement in the empire. At any rate, Pilate was sent as the fifth procurator or governor of ancient Palestine in AD 26. One can only imagine the delight that filled his heart when he learned of the appointment. He had been given a prestigious post. It would be his chance to show his stuff, at least that's what he thought. But in reality, Satan had spread a massive net that would begin the process of Pilate's total collapse. The position offered him was in reality the end of his freedom. And I've seen the same thing happen to many men in my lifetime. Blessed with clever minds and unflagging drive, they've climbed higher and higher in the echelons of success. There's certainly nothing wrong with that, provided all your steps are ordered by the Lord In that case, each step higher only brings you closer to God. But I've seen case after case in which men and women have risen to higher position and have, with each step, strayed farther and farther from God. Let me make a point crystal clear. Your success in material things does not mean that you are necessarily being blessed of God. It could be that you're being led right into the net by the enemy of your soul, Satan himself. I've seen businessmen who were once on fire for God, the last ones out of the altar, the first ones to volunteer their services for the work of God's kingdom, begin to have outstanding success in financial matters. And God's been driven back with each forward step they've made. The master's work was no longer quite so important. Oh, you have to understand, Pastor, that my business requires me to spend more time away from my family and church. And then comes the big lie. But I can do so much more for God in my new position. Are you sure? Do you still have any spiritual power? You may have financial power and social clout, but do you have any power with God? The grim story of Samson was this. After Delilah had cut his hair and the Philistines approached to capture him, Samson lurched to his feet and didn't even know the Spirit of God had departed from him. Has God's Spirit departed from you, sir? You say you have position with men. Do you have position with Almighty God? Be careful. You may be stepping right into Satan's net. Pilate's job as procurator put him directly in line with Satan's second trap. Now he faced circumstances that bound him hand and foot. Those Judeans were tough to govern. They made repeated complaints to Caesar about Pilate. The hostility between procurator and people grew daily. It was a circumstance that Pilate couldn't handle. He made mistake after mistake. He insulted the Jews by hanging Roman shields, bearing the images of Roman deities in the sacred temple. He could not have committed a more grievous error in judgment. Luke 13:1 gives the chilling fact that he led a massacre against the Jews, the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Apparently the Roman soldiers killed them right during the sacrifices in the temple. It was all downhill from this point on for the governor. Now let me ask you something. Does your position in life cause circumstances to happen that take you away from God? Are you required to be away from God's house more often now? Is it helpful to your career to become a social drinker? Is that innocent flirtation now a part of your life? Socializing, you call it, perhaps. Are you asked to make decisions that involve cheating? Does lying help you keep your job? Do you have to hurt innocent people sometimes in order for your company to make another dollar? Oh, I've heard the excuse so many times, preacher, my new circumstances make it possible for me to be a witness to people you'll never reach. And I'm taking the church to the world. Are you positive about that? Maybe it's just the other way around. Perhaps Satan's getting the world into the church. The divine edict has never been lifted. Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So check your circumstances. What are they doing to your eternal prospects of eternity with God? Make sure they're not part of a huge net that Satan has spread before you. Pilate had position. The circumstances of his life had caused great change in his way of thinking. How unfortunate, because now he came to the third net. He needed all his rationale and moral judgment to avoid the trap, but that judgment had all been spent. And now he faced decision, the greatest decision in the world, what to do with a man called Jesus Christ. Early in his career, he would have given Jesus his freedom. Pilate had once had the reputation of never convicting an innocent man. But not now. Memories of the dead bodies around the temple still haunted Jerusalem. Any chance of Jesus avoiding Calvary were dissipated when his accusers stood up to Pilate and said, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." And now the nets about Pilate were beginning to tie together. He needed the position. It would kill him to lose it. The circumstance for keeping the position required an immoral judgment. He was faced with the decision, what to do with an innocent man? Justice was not the motivating factor. It was politics, expediency, self-gratification. Jesus would have to go. So set up the cross, centurion. Nail this man on it and leave him there until he's dead. Bring me a basin of water so I may wash my hands of this innocent man. Now take him away. Those in the crowd that day may have looked at Pilate and considered him the ruler of them all. But if they could have seen him with spiritual sight, they would have seen a bull in a net. He was tied with fetters that he could never break. They would bring about his fall from power in a few short years. They would remain tightly about his body as Pilate was led into exile, his friends in Rome all gone now. The net would become even tighter as Pilate's body plunged from the precipice into the icy cold and very deep lake. What a tragedy. He had begun life with such promise. He ended as a bull in a net. But now we come to you. The Holy Spirit is dealing with you about your position. No job on this earth is worthwhile if it claims your soul. The searchlight of God's presence is spotlighting your circumstances. Do you find yourself thinking thoughts and committing acts that just a few short years ago you would have considered unspeakable? Are you clawing to hang on to this world and its fraudulent values? You're now faced with a decision. You know, I go for a verdict on every revival time service, and the question is yours now, just as it was once Pilate's. What will you do with Jesus Christ? If you cannot make a positive commitment, it may be that you are already bound by Satan's nets. But here's the good news, sir. Whom the Son, Jesus, sets free is free indeed. In a moment, you and I will pray together. We will bow before a mighty God who's capable of tearing Satan's nets to pieces in an instant. Brother McClellan, lead the choir in a song of victory. This dear friend who came to our service a captive will leave it a free person. Jesus wants you to be free. He's made all the provision for your freedom, but it's up to you. You have to make the decision. The Lord won't force you to accept him. It's your choice. And all of us in the radio auditorium today are praying you make the right choice as we pray.
Come every soul, my sin, the presence mercy with the Lord.
Father, the nets are spread in so many hidden places. Satan is clever, insidiously clever, and he's trapped millions in those hideous nets. Unhappy marriages, drugs, depression, bad attitudes, hate, lust, indifference. But the trap was sprung at Calvary when Jesus cried out, "It is finished! There is a way of escape! Please, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let hundreds of men and women today see that they can be free from their nets. Now I kneel by this businessman friend of mine here at the altar. He's been tied to a situation that has taken total command of his life. He finds himself doing things he wouldn't have even dreamed of doing a couple of years ago. He goes to bed each night hating himself for his activities of the day, but knowing full well he'll do them again tomorrow. He's bound hand and foot, a bull in a net, a captive of Satan. Father, in Jesus' name, loose him and let him go. May he break away from companions who force him down and down and down. May he break away from the set of values that's claiming his eternal soul. May he break away from the system that will do nothing for him, but reserve a place for him in an eternal hell. He calls to you now for victory over his nets of bondage, and I agree with him in prayer, and we believe together for the answer you're sending, and we thank you, Father. Amen and amen. And now we stand before the mercy seat, breathing that delectable freedom that comes only from our Heavenly Father. Thanks for praying with me. Will you drop me a line today and tell me what's happened in your life? I want to send you some terrific Bible studies. These are little workbooks that take you right into the meat of the Word of God and help you to understand exactly what it says. And these studies are yours for the asking. And somewhere near you, there's a great church with a pastor who cares deeply about you. Find that church right away and become a faithful member of it. Oh, you'll enjoy the family of God. We all have one thing in common. We can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us.